Morning. And I'm going to start the music and then can I just get a quick thumbs up just to make sure that it's playing?
Land. Its waters gleam bright in the heavenly light and ripple o'er golden sand. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its fountains are deep and its waters are pure and sweet to the weary soul. It flows from the throne of Jehovah alone. Oh, come where its bright waves roll. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, will you not drink of this beautiful stream and dwell on its peaceful shore? The Spirit says, come, all ye weary ones, home, and wander in fear no more. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Whoa, its water so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Wow,
what a beautiful opening to our service. Give thanks for Pax and Logan and Ariel for that beautiful song and reminder of our call in this time to seek that beautiful stream. Amen. Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship at Tabernacle United Church. My name is Pastor Katie, and I am, my pronouns are she, her, hers, and I am really glad to welcome each of you to this time of worship, where we're gathered together, not physically together, but spiritually together and united in this time as we remember who we are and whose we are, that we belong to God, we belong to one another. And we are here to remember that. We are here to worship God and to be together, to connect to each other and to love each other. So welcome to this time. I want to especially welcome those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time. If you're here and are just joining us today, thank you for being here and for taking the time to step into this new space, not knowing what to expect. We're glad you're here. If you would like to welcome or introduce yourself, we would love that. You can use the chat feature to share your name if you're here visiting with us. You can also email me directly at tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and connect with you. I have a few announcements to make this morning of some things coming up. First, I wanted to just remind us that we are in stewardship season. So stewardship season is a time where we're remembering and prayerfully thinking about the gifts that we have been given by God that we can use to serve each other and to serve particularly this community at Tabernacle. So over the last few weeks, we've been sharing ways you can do that. And the two ways to do that are to fill out a time and talent form. So in the chat, we will send you the link to that time and talent form. If you could take some time this week to fill that out, that would be great. We've also shared this in our church emails that have gone out. So if you have an email from any of the last few weeks, you can get this information there or let us know if you need that information. So the time and talent form, you can also think about your pledge that you would like to pledge financially for this coming year. And you can email that pledge directly to tabstewardship@gmail.com. So please be thinking about that in this week, especially as we're closing in October. We would love to get that information from you as soon as you can. A couple other things I wanted to lift up that we are planning, along with New Sanctuary Movement, a All Saints Day vigil next Sunday. This will be in person, but you can also do it live or you can join us live. It will be at Tabernacle United Church, our church on 37th and Chestnut Street at 5 o'clock. So we're going to have our regular morning service in the morning. And then at 5 o'clock, we are going to be doing a All Saints prayer vigil for Juanita and Clive Thompson, who are in sanctuary at our church. And it is a time to be prayerful, to be fighting, reminding ourselves and fighting and being visible about our fight for their freedom and for their liberation, and remembering to gain strength from the prophets and ancestors that have come before us. And we're using All Saints Day and remembering All Saints Day as that time that we are strengthened by those cloud of witnesses to keep us in this struggle. So please join us if you can at 5 o'clock next Sunday at Tabernacle for this vigil. There will also be a Facebook Live stream. If you can't come in person, you can join us online. So we will send out more information about this vigil this coming week. So stay tuned for that, but mark your calendars and plan to be with us. Finally, I just wanted to invite us after the service today. We're going to stay just for a few minutes for those who can to have a little bit of conversation about the service. Today, our theme is going to be on prayer, the practice of disruptive prayer, as Jesus has taught us to pray. And so today I would like for us to think a little bit after our service and to discuss a little bit together what are some ways that we want to come together and pray and put our bodies and our lives into the prayers to work in these weeks ahead, especially in this election season. And so we're going to have some just brainstorming and talking about that as response to the service. So if you can stay and join us in that conversation, we would welcome that and love that. So we're going to continue now in our service of worship. Let us calm our hearts and let us enter this time of worship and call ourselves to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. We are here for forgiveness.
We are here to rejoice.
We are here for the kingdom.
Hallowed be God's many names.
Let us worship God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to sing some songs of praise and worship this morning together, starting with What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. I think of this song as one that really celebrates the love of community. Let's sing together.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a everlasting arms, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. On this next song, we'll sing some in English, and then we'll sing the refrain in Spanish at the end. Lord, you have come to the lakeshore. Lord, you have come to the lakeshore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only ask me to follow humbly. Oh Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now the boats left on the shore lie behind me. By your side I will seek other seas. You know so well my possessions. My boat carries no gold and no weapons. You will find there my nets and labor. Señor, me has mirado a los ojos, sonriendo, has dicho mi nombre. La arena he dejado mi barca, junto a ti buscaré otro mar. Señor, me has mirado los ojos, sonriendo has dicho mi nombre. En la arena he dejado mi barca, junto a ti buscaré otro mar. Amen.
Paul says, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. God, you do not give us a snake instead of a fish, or a scorpion instead of an egg. You do not say the door is locked. You give the Holy Spirit, and we confess. So please join me in the call to prayer, or the prayer of confession, excuse me. And this morning we're inviting you to sing in the response, the Kyrie, in the response with Pax.
Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Kyrie, Kyrie,
we are not patient in this time of trial.
Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison.
Nor do we forgive those who have brought us here.
Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison.
We have little hope and we do not rejoice.
Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison.
We are not praying enough, and we do not persevere. Forgive us the debt, the sins and debts that keep us from your kingdom. Hear these words of assurance. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Amen. I invite you to join in a song of praise soon and very soon by Andre Crouch.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see our God. No more dying there, no more dying there. We are going to see our God. No more dying there, we are going to see our God. No more dying there, we are going to see our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we're going to see our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see our God.
Amen. Friends, I am excited and fulfilled with joy this morning that we have Ana del Corazon, who has made a decision to join our church, to join Tabernacle United Church, and make a commitment, renew her commitment to discipleship and make a commitment to this community of faith. And for us to make a commitment and again remember our discipleship and our commitment to Ana, and to being together and journeying in this faith and strengthening one another in this journey. So I'm really pleased and excited for this moment. This is, again, another moment, I think, where we wish we could be together. We often wish we could be together physically to be able to hear one another and to celebrate together. But let's use our imagination and we can give virtual hugs and virtual celebration even in the midst of this time. And so we are going to, in just a moment, there will be a part for you to play as the congregation for you to give your promises, and Ana will make her promises. So I'm going to give go through some questions for Ana. But first, I'm going to share just these words of welcome to remind us why we're here and what we're doing. Friends in Christ, Ana has found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ. Through prayer and study, she has been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm her faith and to claim in our presence her covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of the church. She is here for service to Jesus Christ, using the gifts which the Holy Spirit bestows. So Anna, these questions are for you. Trusting in the gracious mercy of our Creator, do you commit yourself to growing in the life of the Spirit, to nurturing your relationship with God, and listening for God's call in your life? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
And will you be a follower of Christ, showing forth compassion, witnessing to God's radically inclusive love, and renouncing sin's power in your life and in the world? If so, please say, I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
And do you desire to be a committed member of this congregation, allowing us to accompany you on your faith journey and lending your resources and talents to strengthen this community of faith as we witness together to God's hope, reconciliation, justice, and peace? If so, please say, I do.
I do, I do, I do, I do.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Today, we rejoice in the pilgrimage of faith which has brought you to this time, Anna, and place. We give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home. And we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. Let us, the members and friends of Tabernacle United Church, now express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witness to our risen Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Tabernacle United Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church.
Let us pray. Eternal Creator, we praise you for calling us to be your servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you, God, for Anna. May we as a church work with her in serving the needs of one another, our neighbors, and creation. Confirm in us the power of your covenant that we may live in your Spirit, share regularly in worship, and so love each other that we may have among us the same mind which was in Christ Jesus, to whom be all honor and glory. Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 we're going to see our God. One more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see our God.
Friends, now let us take a moment to go to gallery view. And let us pass the peace of Christ. Let us extend the hands, virtual hands of love to one another, and also welcome Anna and give some celebration and thanks this morning. So let us pass the peace of Christ with each other. Peace be with you.
Peace. Peace.
Welcome, Anna.
Thank you. Welcome, Anna.
Welcome, Anna.
Welcome, everyone.
Yeah. Where are you, Anna?
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
peace. Hi, Erica. Peace be with you all.
Welcome, Iowa.
Welcome, Anna.
Welcome, Anna.
Welcome, Anna.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Auntie.
Hi, everyone. Peace be with you.
Hi, good with you.
And welcome back to Emmett.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Hi, Emmett.
Thank you.
Peace, Katie.
Peace. Peace, Deb Aarons. Good to see you.
Peace.
Put a song.
That was lighter.
Keeping it shaped.
Peace, Priscilla.
Ken, good to see you.
Hi, Levi.
Peace, Geneva.
Peace.
Peace to you.
Hi, Heather and Oscar. Hey, Asky.
Mark and Emily, welcome back.
Good to be back with Anna and everyone else.
Already a member of our church.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Peace, and Mark and Alice. Good to see you. Well, good to see you.
Nice to see you. Yes, go back.
All right.
Awesome. Welcome home.
Peace to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, there's Susan's in the corner.
On screens, it's growing. Nice.
That's a good picture, Susan.
The first reading today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2 and 11 to 12. So, siblings, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble. And devote yourselves to prayer. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite children to come closer and the young at heart to hear the children's time.
Come and see, come and see. I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh come and see.
Hey everyone, it's Katie here. I'm wondering actually if Todd is here. I don't know if he is. I don't think so. In which case, I'm sorry, kids. We're going to have to move through children's time unless there is someone in the congregation who has a short word that they would like to say to kids.
Hey, Katie, we have a story we could share.
Wonderful. Nicole.
I'm going to run to Elliot's room and grab the book. So Elliot, you're in charge for a minute.
All right.
Get the book, okay? Tell him something about God.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything to say. What? I guess I'm just going to fall asleep.
Well, Elliot, I think God rests too, so that's kind of cool.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to mute myself and turn it over to Nicole and Elliot.
So this is, I'm Nicole, and that was Elliot talking. And this was, we were debating last week which story to share. So this is the one that we decided not to share. And now we can share it with you now. So this is called Mr. Tiger Goes Wild. Hey, Elliot, if we're sharing, do you want to come hear the story with everybody
yes.
else? Okay.
Except I want to fall asleep too.
Okay. So this story starts saying, everyone was perfectly fine with the way things were. Everyone but Mr. Tiger. Mr. Tiger was bored with always being so proper. And here you see the different animals. Good day, Mr. Tiger. Good day, Mr. Deer. Lovely weather we are having, I suppose. Indeed. Now, children, please do not act like wild animals. I don't know what voice I'm doing. Mr. Tiger wanted to loosen up. He wanted to have fun. He wanted to be wild. And then one day, Mr. Tiger had a very wild idea. What does he do?
He gets on 4 feet.
He's on all fours. He felt better already. Here he is, walking on all fours. Mr. Tiger became wilder and wilder each day. Elliot, what does this say? What's Mr. Tiger saying? Roar. His friends did not know what to think. One says, peculiar. Another says, wow. Unacceptable. And then Mr. Tiger went a little too far. What does he do?
Took off his phone.
His friends had lost their patience. Mr. Tiger, if you must act wild, kindly do so in the wilderness. And Mr. Tiger says, what a magnificent idea. So Mr. Tiger ran away into the wilderness, where he went completely wild. And what's he saying here? Here he is. But Mr. Tiger was lonely. He missed his friends. He missed the city. He missed his home. So Mr. Tiger decided to return. And he found that things were beginning to change. What do you see, Elliot? What's changed as he comes back? Can you see? Come look. What's changed as he's come back?
They're on all fours, most of them.
His friends, most of them are on all fours. Now Mr. Tiger felt free to be himself. And so did everyone else. The end. So this is an invitation to be yourself, even if that involves going a little wild. The back says there's a time and place for everything, even going wild. Oh, and Elliot is showing you the kitten. Here's Dorothy. Boop. Hi, kitten. She really likes to hide in boxes. Can we say a little prayer? Maybe Dorothy can join us. Let's hold her paw. You want to repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for chances to go wild.
Thank you for chances to go wild.
Amen.
Amen. Bye, Dorothy.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We're reading from chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Let's hear this teaching from Jesus about prayer and persistence in prayer. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And so Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Parent, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly parent give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks for your presence here in our midst. We thank you for entering every home where we are, for being right where we are. We ask God in this time and in this special moment and hour of our lives that we would be awakened in a more deeper way to your presence, to your call on our lives, and to our belonging to you and to each other. God, I ask that you would speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, let me shift to gallery view so I'm not looking at myself. All right, it's good to see all of you, even if in this virtual setting, it's always good to see your faces. Today, I want to begin just by reminding us of that we've been in a sermon series. We're going to continue that series today. And the sermon series has been on discipleship. A discipleship for Christians is really about is about learning Jesus. It's about following, becoming, learning the way of Christ and learning to conform our lives to Christ. So for the first couple weeks in our series, we began by wrestling with the question, well, which Jesus are we following? Which Jesus are we following? And we ask this question because, as Frederick Douglass teaches us and taught us, there are multiple Christs that exist in our country and in North America. There is the Christianity of this land, which Douglass referred to as slaveholder religion. Slaveholder religion, it's a type of culture Christianity that sees salvation as something instantaneous and easy and mainly about us getting into heaven. It's a type of Christianity that makes it possible for somebody to claim that they are Christian and at the same time hold slaves. It's this kind of disembodied Christianity that is so much a part of our world and contemporary time. Slaveholder religion holds an image of Jesus as someone who is primarily white and nice, and whose liberating ministry on earth has little to do with who he was and is of little consequence for us, for our behavior. In contrast, Frederick Douglass says, if you remember, there is the Christianity of Christ, which is the Christianity of the Black Christ, whose ministry of liberation and relationship to the oppressed is central to who he is and to who he was and to who he is today. The Christianity of Christ involves an understanding of salvation that is connected to liberation that begins in the here and now, not just in the afterlife, but is about the here and now, freedom from oppression in the here and now. This understanding of Jesus is actually based in the gospel writings, and it is to understand that when Jesus says something like, I have come to bring good news to the poor and release to the captives, that he really means that he really is talking about the poor and really is talking about prisoners and people who are captive. And so these are the questions we've been dealing with, talking about really who is this real Jesus we are trying to follow? Who is he? My almost 3-year-old son has been asking lately about whether things are real or not. I had a Band-Aid on my finger the other day, and Oscar hates Band-Aids and anything that's like kind of a plasticky material. It like for some reason freaks him out. He's been that way for a long time. I had a Band-Aid on my finger the other day, and he looked at my finger and he said, Mama, I don't have to touch that. And I said, no, you don't have to touch the Band-Aid. And then he said, is it real? And I said, yeah, the Band-Aid, it's real. it's real. The Band-Aid is real, but you don't have to touch it. It's real. It may seem like a very strange connection to this sermon, but the liberating and saving ministry of Jesus is real. It's real. And I am convinced of that. And I think faithful discipleship is about getting to know this real Jesus and then taking steps to conform our lives to Christ. And that also means that our discipleship is letting go of the fake Jesus, of the slaveholder religion, leaving it behind in order to love and embrace and follow the Black Jesus of the Gospels. So that's where we've been. That's what we've been talking about. And as we move through the rest of this series, we're going to be talking about practices of discipleship, and particularly community practices, because as we learned so, and as Joanna spoke about so powerfully last week, we can't do discipleship alone. In fact, she said that community is discipleship, that all of these things we do together as followers of Jesus are for community. And so we're going to be talking about community practices. And today I want to focus on the practice of prayer. Now, Paul says in our key passage from Romans 12 that we are to persevere in prayer, persist in it, devote ourselves to prayer. Persistence in prayer is also a very common theme in Luke's gospel. And in the gospel lesson today, we actually hear Jesus share a funny story about what it means or how we can pray, how we should pray. And it is a little bit of a funny story. If you think about it, there's a kind of a comical sense to this that gets at truth. He is asking us to imagine that it's the middle of the night and a friend has come to your house and you don't have any bread to give to them. Now, this is a culture where hospitality is so important that to not have bread and you have a guest coming over would be a huge shame. So you just have to get bread. You have to get bread. And so you go to your other neighbor, your other friend, and you bang on the door in the middle of the night and you say, I need bread. Please lend me some bread. And your friend is like, hell no, it's the middle of the night. My kids are in bed with me. I'm not going to give you bread. Go back to sleep. But you don't give in. You go crazy. You start waking up the neighborhood. You're disturbing the peace. You're shouting, I need bread. I need bread. And it's such a ruckus that your friend says, okay, fine, here's your bread. And so Jesus tells this story and then says, that's how you pray. Pray like that. Pray like that. In fact, the word translated persistent in the parable is actually better translated as shameless. It's a word that means a kind of unembarrassed boldness, like you're overdoing it, like it's a little bit much what you're doing. And Jesus is saying, pray with that kind of passion, like the passion of protest. Pray like that. Knock, ask, seek. That's how you pray. Make demands. Pray like that. I find this image and story, a parable, challenging, and it's kind of refreshing in a way. I think it challenges the notion that prayer is only or even primarily about being quiet or still and even friendly. It challenges the notion that that prayer is amicable. It's a sense that prayer here is confrontational. It begs, it haggles, it ruffles feathers. Prayer, I know can be many things and it can take many forms. But Jesus says, yes, prayer can also be like protest. It can look like people in the street demanding change. Prayer can be persistent, demanding that every vote be counted. Prayer can be a persistent demanding that voting rights are protected, for example. Waking up the neighborhood, hollering, give us bread, give us bread. It feels a little bit like Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, waking up the slumber of the status quo that says white lives and white property are more valuable than Black lives. That's the spirit Jesus is saying, be like that in prayer. Now, I want to warn us, though, we have to be careful in our interpretation of this text because not all content for our prayers will do. If we're following Jesus, not all prayers are equal when it comes to following Jesus. So for example, if you're praying and haggling God and yelling at the top of your voice, make me rich, and you're making a fuss and disturbing the peace about that and begging and demanding that God give you a new car and a summer home to escape to. Well, this gospel passage doesn't really allow for that kind of self-serving interpretation. So we have to be careful. This is not just anything goes when it comes to yelling and disturbing the peace. Notice the context of what comes before. We have to be good about reading the context. This parable about shameless demands in our prayers is told right after he gives the disciples the content for prayer. And that content is what we now know and talk about as the Lord's Prayer. That's the content that Jesus gives. We've heard the Lord's Prayer so many times. I know many of us know it by heart. We've learned it growing up. I think sometimes it can be helpful to slow down, to hear the words again, and to remember that the Lord's Prayer, the radical message of that prayer, and to not let that go, because the Lord's Prayer is profoundly countercultural. It's profoundly anti-empirical. It's counter the status quo. Just listen to these sentences. Our parent, may your name be made holy. your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us our daily bread. Forgive our debts, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not lead us to temptation. Notice, first of all, there are no individual petitions in this prayer. Now, I'm not to say that God doesn't care about our individual struggles, but in this prayer, there is no individual petition. It's always, if we actually, it's helpful to ask of this prayer, what are the pronouns that this prayer uses? What are the pronouns? We, us, our. Those are the pronouns. And if we can get the pronouns right, then we are already beginning to shift. That prayer is helping our language shift in a kind of training and discipleship, that we do not look primarily to our own individual needs, but to the needs of the people, of the masses of people. Our gaze is turned from a focus on ourselves toward the plight of the people, just with getting the pronouns right. And then think about this, when we pray, holy be your name, and thy kingdom come and thy will be done, we are effectively saying Caesar's empire must go. Because remember, Caesar's name was the only name that would be considered holy and sanctified. And Caesar's empire was the only empire that would be considered divine. And so we are claiming in this prayer, disciples are taught to defy the supremacy of Caesar and to claim that it is God's name that must be made holy by the way we live our lives, and that God's reign is the only way, reign that we subscribe to. And then when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are simultaneously praying for a world in which there is enough bread for everyone. It was the same then as it is now, that the haves were the folks who had sufficient and excessive amount of food. And then there were the have-nots, who were kind of like the character in the parable, whose daily bread was not guaranteed. And there was a desperate clinging every day to a daily hope that you had enough bread. And so we are praying, give the people bread, enough for each day, for all people. Give us daily bread. And then if we're praying, forgive us our debts, this was also a prayer for the end of Caesar's kingdom, because within an imperial system, subjects were forced into debt and dispossession in order to pay tribute to Rome. So it was a kind of economic slavery, the debt system. So to say, forgive us our debt, this is profoundly anti-empire. We pray for an end to economic slavery, even as we proclaim with integrity, we will no longer participate in this kind of debt system. We say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. The assumption is we are already practicing this resistance to the debt system. Just in those few words. In fact, theologian Oberle Hendrick says that this teaching on debt, it may sound impractical in this complex world like we live in, but he says there are many ways to practice this. We can embody this prayer by refusing to place profits over people. We can refuse to pay people substandard wages. We can refuse to force workers to labor without health care. We can refuse exorbitant interest rates and rental costs. We can do this prayer. We can practice and embody it in lots of different ways. The Lord's Prayer, says Oberle Hendrick, is a prayer that treats the needs of the people as holy. The needs of the people as holy, where no one is held in economic bondage, but has daily bread and their needs are met. This is the real Jesus saying these real words, teaching us to pray and embody this prayer. This is really Jesus talking about economics and poor people released from debt. And friends, I know I feel like I say this a lot, but I think it's helpful to remember and remind ourselves. We can never pretend, we ought not to pretend that there are no politics in the gospel. And I'm not talking about Democrat or Republican. That's, yeah, that's a whole other thing. I'm talking about politics as in the people, social concerns. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus is teaching us to beg for a new world and to commit our lives to building that new world up. I think it actually is a remnant of slaveholder religion that teaches us that politics should be left out of the Gospels and that we ought to just interpret the Bible individualistically and spiritually, and that Jesus wasn't really talking about poverty or economic debt or captives as in real prisoners or people who were actually poor. That's a false gospel. That is a remnant of slaveholder religion, and that we have to reject it. We have to reject it because it separates Jesus from real bodies, from real people, from real needs. And it is anti-gospel. It is anti-Christ. There is no gospel of Jesus Christ without a social gospel. There is no discipleship without community. There is no Lord's Prayer that is not about the real needs of people. So I know prayer can take many forms and it can mean many things. And I'm not arguing in this sermon that one form is better than another. But what I am saying and hoping perhaps to encourage in us today is to embrace a practice of prayer that is not afraid to be bold and embodied, that is not afraid of making demands, of fighting for change. If Jesus is authorizing us to practice praying a new world into being, then being nice and courteous in our prayers is not really going to cut it. And Jesus himself, I don't think, doesn't expect us to be nice. I think Jesus wants us to be rooted in love and to fight for the well-being of everyone and for our neighbors, and especially the most vulnerable. And so I think we need to find and reflect on what it means for us to pray like this, to pray like this parable teaches. What does that mean in my life to embrace that kind of boldness? Maybe it starts with my relationship with God, because I think some of us have ideas about God that we have to be somehow polite, or that we can't be demanding or forceful. But here, this story, this gospel lesson is actually authorizing us. Kind of like what Nicole shared in that book, to be ourselves, to allow that spirit of passion and longing and justice to flow through us, and to not be afraid to shout about it. Romans 12 says, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. I hope you can join us a little bit after the service as we take some time to think about what it means to persevere in prayer in these times, because we need together as a community to really think about that and what it means to keep up our prayer and our fight, especially in this election season. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh children, let's go down, come on down. Oh children, let's go down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh children, let's go down, come on down. Oh children, let's go down to the river to pray.
morning, everyone. My name is Susan. I use she and her. So I've been invited to give a testimony about why I love Tabernacle and am committed to this community and this congregation and this church. I just realized that I've been at Tab half of my life. I'm 62 years old. I came to Tab in 1991. And everything that we've heard today really resonates deeply with why I'm at Tab. I have actually felt and continue to feel the untaming of myself and the wilding of myself at Tab. I came to Tab because I realized after a long years of discernment after leaving seminary that I, yes, did want to get ordained. And I switched denominations from Presbyterian Church to UCC. I've had so many profound life moments. I've gotten ordained in this church. I got married in this church. To Bob Case, our child Jaron was baptized in this church. I founded Artwell, this nonprofit, with the help of this church. And a couple years ago, we also grieved and celebrated Bob's life and mourned his death. So I've experienced in this last 30 some years, really a lot of deepening in community. And I want to just say community many times, because I can't really imagine what it would be like to be walking and living faith and exploring deep questions without community, without a community to worship with, to wrestle with, to take action with, to know that I'm not the only one with, to be accountable with, to love with, to cry with, and to celebrate. And I love this community because I also get to keep investing my own gifts and celebrating those of others. Just this week, I realized, wow, I love being on the personnel committee. I love so many things about being able to share. I've received and continue to receive so much, including just this morning. And I'm very picky. So there's not a lot. I can't think of one other community that I could say these things about. So I just feel so grateful and hope that we can continue to share the good news about Tabernacle and our community together, to share and invite others into this liberating journey, this transforming journey, this prophetic journey in beloved community. So I want to say thank you to all of you. And if you're new, I'm so excited to get to know you too. And thank you for listening. And thank you for being church together and for all this community has meant to me. So thank you.
Thank you, Susan, for sharing that. That was a time in our service where we share what we have been given with the church. If we were all physically gathered together, we would pass a plate. But since we are physically separated, there are multiple ways we can give. One is to give electronically by texting any amount to 84321. If you do that, if you can write on it, whether it's your pledge or if it's for a particular purpose, that would be helpful. Or you can go online to tabunited.org/contribute. And again, there's a drop down where you can indicate what the purpose of your contribution is, if there is a specific place you want it to go or be counted towards your pledge. And then you can also always put a check in the mail to 3700 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia. Thank you all for being so generous to this church, which we would not be able to operate without everyone sharing their time and their talents and their resources.
This offertory song was brought to us by Rob Thornton, and if you know it, I invite you to sing along.
imagine me loving what I see when the mirror looks at me, cause I imagine me in a place of no insecurities, and I'm finally happy, cause I imagine me letting go of all of the ones who hurt me, cause they never did deserve me. Can you imagine me saying no to thoughts that try to control me, remembering all you told me? Can you imagine me over what my mama said, and healed from what my daddy did? And I wanna live and not read that page again. Imagine me being free, trusting you totally. Finally, I can imagine me. I admit it was hard to see you being in love with someone like me, but finally, I can imagine me being strong, not letting people break me down. You won't get that joy this time around. Can you imagine me in a world where nobody has to live afraid because of your love, fear's gone away? Can you imagine me letting go of the past and glad I have another chance, and my heart will dance cause I don't have to read that page again. Imagine me being free, trusting you totally. Finally, I can imagine me. I'll admit it was hard to see you being in love with someone like me, but finally I can imagine me. Imagine me being free, trusting you totally. Finally, I can imagine me. I'll admit it was hard to see you being in love with someone like me, but finally, I can imagine me. Gone, gone, it's gone, all gone, 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 it's gone, all gone. Every ache, every mistake, it's gone, all gone, gone, it's gone.
God, thank you for all that you have given us and for the gifts to this community. May we use these resources to follow the real Jesus together as a community, to persevere in bold prayer, to meet the real needs of your people. Amen.
Amen. This is the time, friends, where we are invited to share our joys and concerns and testimonies. If you're new to TAB, this is a time for all of us to share. So if you would like to share a prayer through the chat function to reflect on the service, to bring your joys and struggles or other prayer concerns before God and our community, you can do that right now. Perhaps just as an added invitation, perhaps you want to share something you've been haggling with God about, something you've been frustrated with, something you have been raising a ruckus about. It's an opportunity for us to be honest in our prayers and to lift up our voices, to put into words what it is we're longing for and struggling for. So don't be afraid to share what's on your heart. You can also do that in silence if you don't want to share it with others, but you're welcome to do that right now. So in just a moment, Pauline will read out our concerns that come in through the chat. So let's take a few moments and lift up our prayers and listen to our prayers.
From Elizabeth, a prayer for Josh, our neighbor who was hospitalized on Thursday, and a prayer of thanksgiving for all our neighbors who turned out to help him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Anne specifically, prayers for my niece, Annika, who has COVID. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Deb Aaron's prayers for Nevaeh Page's older brother, Malik Banks, who was shot this past week and is in surgery this morning. Surround the families with your love and healing. Oh God, Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayers. From Lucinda, God, there are 545 of our children who are still separated from their parents by this empire. Reunite those families, God, and forgive us our sins of complicity. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Pax, a prayer of celebration for Anna and Gina's 10-year anniversary. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Leah Stern, Lord, help us to follow the real Jesus who has compassion for those who are oppressed and captive to the ills of our world. And that was actually from Verona, I wondered, from Verona Stern. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Anna, thank you for welcoming me into your community. I feel blessed and so grateful to be a part of this community, even from afar. Anna, we feel equally blessed to have you as a part of our community. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Alicia, prayers for all the protesters and citizens in Nigeria who are fighting against police brutality in the anti-SARS movement. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. from N, prayers also for Carly, who isn't feeling well. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gwyneth, prayers for everyone who struggles with mental health issues, to know that they are beloved and valued by God and by community, and show us ways to make this manifest. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Geneva Butts, prayers for baby Josh, who is still in the hospital with meningitis following his birth 2 weeks ago. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Susan Teagan, for my son Jaron, who is hoping to find a home that will work with his friends. Lots of challenges and dreams. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Heather Bergeron, in thanksgiving for the life of my good friend and mentor, Murphy Davis, who passed away this week. God, surround her daughter, Hannah, and husband, Ed, in comfort and peace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Erica, continue to pray for my 7-year-old daughter who has a lot of anxiety and it is affecting her schooling. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Emmett, knock and the door will be opened unto you. A prayer of thanksgiving that this community has welcomed me the way that God would. Thank you, Emmett. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Buki, for my dad's upcoming surgery. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I'll add a joy for myself of seeing the millions of Americans come out to vote in record numbers, whether by mail or in person, people taking the time and energy and making the risks that it takes to vote. And for all the people who have volunteered their time to help make this vote a successful one and to let the American people's voices be heard. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ginny, for Todd, who faces continuing health challenges this week. I'm sorry to hear that. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Verona, prayers for Leah, who is starting in-person school tomorrow. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all of the prayers that have been shared, and thank you for lifting up your voices and sharing what's on your heart. And so for all of these prayers, we will be keeping these names and situations in our hearts continually. And we are will be persistent in our prayers as they've come in. We also give thanks for all the prayers that are on our hearts, but perhaps we didn't have words to share this morning, but just an acknowledgement that God hears our silent prayers too. And so we add these prayers and our silent prayers and lift them all up to God and to one another to hold. as we move into our song of prayer, we're going to sing this refrain, Tuma Mina, which is a South African traditional song that means, send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Lord. We're going to sing that together, and then we're going to move right into the prayer that Jesus taught us. And this morning, I want us to slow down a little bit in praying that prayer. So when we move to the next slide, you will see that we will sing a refrain after each sentence of the Lord's Prayer to give each of us an opportunity to meditate a little bit more deeply on those words and to consider our own calling as we hear that prayer together. So let us now continue in our prayers as we sing together and as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us.
Send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Lord.
Our parent in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Lord.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Send me Jesus, send me send me Jesus, send me Lord.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me.
Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors.
Send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Lord.
Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one.
Send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Jesus, send me Lord.
For yours, O God, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. For our closing hymn, I invite you to sing this Guatemalan folk song, The Peace of the Earth Be With You, thinking of the land where we are, the stewards of that land, and the peace and the energy and the life that it gives us.
Peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you. God's peace growing. Of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you. God. Thank you.
Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Amen. And now we can go a little wild and say hello to